Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, along with a very tired, perhaps frustrated Phil St. John, who has made two extra trips back to the hotel room to grab things that his father forgot. I'm old, Phil. I'm sorry. Phil, are you frustrated? A little. But you know what? You're my MVP so far today. Now go back, get yourself a couple hours of rest, and have your butt back down here just after 8 o'clock to help me break down, all right? I love you. Oh, look at him. Hey. You're a college man in a couple of weeks, right? I'm getting you ready. Tough love. All right, Phil is done with me. Hey, remember, Chuck Wagon opens at 6:30. I'll see you there. That's right, the Chuck Wagon. That means I'm at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center inside Barely's Bar doing the show up in St. Joe, Missouri, which means I'm up here covering Chiefs training camp. It's been 2 years. It's been too long. Wow. Felt like I was moving back in my old dorm room yesterday. And it was awesome. It is awesome. It's great to be back and looking forward to seeing Patrick Mahomes II today at practice. Whew. This has been a morning, gentlemen. Let me tell you. But I'm ready to roll. How's everyone back in KC?
Oh, man, fantastic. Fantastic. Terrific.
How you doing? How you doing, Jake?
Absolutely wonderful.
I had Lebo on the phone for like,
great,
I don't know,
day, woo,
for a while yesterday, going through the equipment, trying to figure things out. And it was super-duper frustrating. But Todd Lebo, another one of my MVPs, we got everything situated. We had a little hiccup before the show, but damn it, we made things happen. And here we are. And again, Chiefs training camp practice every day this week at 9:15. No practice on Saturday, and then Sunday is family fun day. So if you're looking for a couple of special events, Friday is going to be Chiefs Alumni Day, and then Sunday is family fun day. But be sure, you got to get your tickets. Check out Chiefs.com. You can't just walk in here. You have to reserve some tickets if you want to come up and watch Chiefs training camp. And again, practice starts at 9:15. And so very excited. No practice yesterday for your Kansas City Chiefs. And so they'll get back at it and get back to work coming up a little bit later on this morning. And I'll be with you until about 8:30, and then I will go check in. A lot of different things going on at training camp when it comes to coverage. I have to go before practice and pick up my contact tracer, so they know where I go and who I touch. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah, you better keep that thing on.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have used that when I was in St. Joe here as a freshman and sophomore. There was a lot of contact going on. They could have traced me all over. Up and down the belt.
Yeah, the belt.
Yeah. What do you know about the belt?
I know what you've told me about the belt.
I'll put your ass on the belt and see what you know.
No, thank you.
Or I'll put the belt on that ass.
Uh-oh.
That's what I'm talking about. Jake, you know something about the belt, don't you? You've been up and down that belt. You have family up here in St. Joe.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's my mom, my whole mom's side of the family, all St. Joe Central grads. So, yeah, I spent some formative years in St. Joseph, Missouri. Great town. Great town.
When you come up here, they welcome you with open arms, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's right. Really.
We got
That's
Dr. Exactly Dodd right. living in town, so.
They call her Doc Dodd.
Doc Dodd.
Like Doc Ock, Doc Dodd.
I'm sure you'll see her around today.
I hope I do. I'm looking forward. I hope I see a lot of my good friends from Missouri Western State University and people up in St. Joe. So, but keep your distance.
Yeah.
Not kidding. Not kidding at all, actually. Hey. Let me tell you, this is funny. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. You know what? It's not funny. I'm not going to say it's funny. I don't think it's funny at all. So do you guys remember when the trade deadline was?
Yes.
It was on Friday.
Yes.
Do you remember what I told you was going to happen after the trade deadline?
The Royals were going to start losing games again?
There we go. There it is.
I had to think about it for a second.
Start a losing streak. See what it was. They were going to win and go on this really good winning stretch to give themselves a false sense of hope or false sense of security or false sense of what? False sense of contention, false sense of something. And then as soon as the trade deadline had come and gone, that's what I predicted. Jake, you remember that we talked about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Nailed it.
Let's check in and see what happened. And after the trade deadline, the Royals got swept by the Blue Jays. So.
Blue Jays are pretty good.
Well, there's a lot of baseball teams that are really good that they'll face in the American League. And that's the whole point. The Royals are not as good as them. They're not contenders. And that's why they should. And so I'll just give this off my chest. That's why they needed to take advantage of this feeding frenzy that was taking place on Thursday and Friday. We've covered a lot of trade deadlines over the years, right? Do you remember anything like this? I don't.
It's pretty wild.
And people kept telling, well, I don't know how much action. There was action everywhere. There was action everywhere. This was like 1992 Westport, 2:30 in the morning action.
Whoa.
Everywhere. Hey. I mean, everywhere. And so, and yes, the Royals did trade, flip Danny Duffy. We have no idea for what. We'll know later. Player to be named later. And they traded Jorge Soler for a ball pitcher, a lottery ticket. And I'm fine with that. Okay, don't get me wrong. The fact that they were able to trade Duffy and Soler for anything, that's great. Because 2 weeks ago, when Duffy was on the IL, and he still is, and Soler, you know, couldn't hit to save his life, did it seem like they would get anything in return for them? No. No. So that's found money. But man, oh man. There was a whole bunch of teams that took advantage of the feeding frenzy that was the trade deadline. And this is, I mean, when Soler had nothing to do with this baseball team next year. And he's going to be a free agent. And he just he went through a hot stretch of a couple of weeks. And so I know that people were sad to see him go in the clubhouse, but he was not in the plans, and so that was a no-brainer. If you get something, you flip him. Same thing for Danny Duffy. We all love Danny Duffy. Great guy. He's been a great person in the city, in the clubhouse, but if you've got a pitcher on the IL that is going to be a free agent and you can get something for him, that's a no-brainer. There's a chance he may not pitch again this year. You don't even think twice about doing that deal. But, boy... By all accounts, they received multiple offers for Whit Merrifield, but nothing to their liking because they were asking for the moon. You know, Carlos Santana, there was interest reportedly from the Boston Red Sox before they went out and grabbed Kyle Schwarber. Didn't want to trade Carlos Santana or Mikey Minor because they're signed for next year, for another year. Man. There was a whole lot of talk. Were you guys following along on the afternoon of the trade deadline and different reporters saying, hey, there's a lot of heat around Scott Barlow. A lot of teams are calling about Scott Barlow. Something could happen here. And then it didn't happen. So it's not like they didn't have players that were attractive to other teams. And we're not talking about guys that are just flat out untradeable. Look, if they say, Salvi is untradeable. I get it. I understand it. I'm not going to complain about that. If they say they want a certain level of return and it's sky high for Whit Merrifield, and they're going to dig their heels in because he's under club control and it's such a team-friendly contract, I get that. I won't even complain about that too much. But just to turn your nose up, offers for Carlos Santana or Mike Minor or even Scott Barlow. And you guys know this. If I had to vote for the Royals pitcher of the year, my vote goes to Scott Barlow. He's been terrific, but he's a reliever. And when will his, you tell me, Nate, when will his value be higher than it is right now?
Well, I think it's unlikely to be higher than it is right now.
I mean, because of the number of years of team control, because he's pitching so well. We've talked about this for years and years, the volatility of relievers, of bullpen arms.
Yeah. Yep.
You could have maximized the return for Scott Barlow. But they chose not to do it. And so now, to make this right, to justify this, they got to contend next year. Right?
Yeah, I would say that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because Santana and Minor aren't signed past next year.
Yeah, they need to win next year. Yes.
Because if they don't, why didn't they trade Minor and Santana?
Right.
Jake?
I don't have any hands. I mean, yeah, they better contend for the division and be in the hunt for a wild card spot.
So what do they need to do to justify not making more deals before this trade deadline?
I think they need to be in contention.
Right.
I think we need to be talking about a team that, going into August and September, is a legit challenger for a postseason spot.
Yep. A couple games out of first place, maybe, and at least a game or two in the wild card or within striking distance.
Yeah.
Minimum.
You think that'll happen? Do you feel good about that?
No, I don't feel good about it. But
I don't know. I mean, but right now, no. But look, we had higher expectations for this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, hey, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. If everything comes together, if all the young starting pitching takes a huge step forward, if Hunter Dozier rediscovers how to hit, if Bobby Witt Jr. Comes up to the big leagues and hits the ground running, like if everything goes right, yeah, it could happen. Now, to me, like the odds of everything going right, that's asking a lot. That's incredibly optimistic. The old phrase, hope for the best and plan for the worst. They're planning for the best for sure. So we'll see. I mean, time will tell. But am I super optimistic about it right now? No. I just think that's asking a lot for that many things to go right for this team get that much better from this year to next year.
So let me tell you before we break, one of my favorite trades, and I'm a Jose Barrios fan for the Twins. He has never become the pitcher that I thought he was going to, but he's been a rock solid starting pitcher. He eats up innings. He's good. He's good. He's not great. He's no Cy Young candidate, but if you need pitching, it's a good target, and he's signed for the rest of this year, of course, and then next year, so a year plus of control. And the Blue Jays, again, we saw how he looked against the Royals in a Blue Jays uniform, right? 27 years old, two-time All-Star. He's got a 3.48 ERA. That's fine. He's good. He's good. He's a good pitcher, right? The Twins, and I can't wait to follow this trade over the next couple of years. The Twins got two top 100 prospects for him. The number 16 prospect in baseball, according to MLB.com, Austin Martin, who the Blue Jays just took number 5 overall in the 2020 draft. That was the guy I wanted the Royals to take instead of Asa Lacy. We'll see how that works out. And then the number 68 prospect in all of baseball, Simon Woods Richardson, a pitcher, a top 100 pitching prospect. And for Barrios, who's only going to be, they weren't going to sign him after that. So a couple of months in a year for two top 100 prospects. Damn, that was all, and that has nothing to do with the Royals. I'm just telling you that was one of my favorite trades because I like Austin Martin. I think he's going to be a stud. We'll see. But did you, Nate? I don't know if you followed all the trades, but did you guys catch that one? Because that one was one that was like, oh,
yeah. There were a lot of trades.
I thought that was a hell of a move by the Twins. We'll see. Yeah. You know, but you know, you're pulling off two top 100 prospects for a guy that you didn't have plans to re-sign. They had had contract talks. They decided, you know what, this ain't going to work out. Now, it's not a rental player. They get him, the Blue Jays get him next year, too. But that's a steep, steep price to pay. I love trades like that, though. And the Blue Jays are going for it. They're saying, screw it, Barrios. I don't know. They might not even make the playoffs. But they gave up a lot. But if you're the Twins, that was a there's no way you could say no to that. No way. The Twins could have said, I think we're close to contending. We're gonna hold on to him next year. He signed for next year now. Well, they made that move, and I thought that was a great move. What were you going to say, Nate?
Oh, no, just that, yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, we were talking about it around the office because we
around the water cooler?
Yeah, around the water cooler.
I bet.
Because, you know, like you said, that was something we remember from the draft last year. A player we thought, well, maybe the Royals would be interested in. So,
And the Blue Jays are 4.5 games back of the A's for the second wild card. You know,
yeah.
It ain't like, hey, we need this final. This ain't the Royals trading for Cueto in 2015. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The odds are they're not even going to make the playoffs. They might, but it ain't looking great. So, I thought that was a super interesting trade from Friday. That's enough baseball. The Royals got swept by these Blue Jays, so maybe that's what needed the Blue Jays needed to spark their second half run, but I just thought that was, you know, a little predictable. The Royals don't do enough before the trade deadline. Immediately they get swept, and we'll see if they can pull out of this before this becomes one of those 8 or 9 game losing streaks. And then we'll think, huh, why didn't they do more before the trade deadline? This team's not close to contending. We'll see what happens. Now they got to take on the White Sox. The White Sox were kind of active, so they look like they're getting ready to
Tony La Russa was active over the weekend, wasn't he?
Tony La Russa, hey, you know what, though? People are making fun of him. How old is he?
76.
I hope I move that well when I'm 76.
Hey, I said that he was moving like I do to the bathroom during the Lezak segment.
You know, and I'm no Tony La Russa fan, but if I'm able to move that quick.
Yeah.
When I'm 76,
right on.
I think things have gone pretty well.
Yep, I agree.
Jake, am I wrong there? He showed a little bit of burst.
Accurate.
I mean, his form wasn't great, but if I'm 76 and if somebody makes me mad when I'm 76 years old and I got that kind of explosion, then I think I've done well over the next 25 years.
Yeah. I think I'll probably be swinging a cane at somebody, right. You know, if I'm still around at that point.
Oh, I've
seen
younger guys look worse.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. He moved.
Yep.
He was, you know, it wasn't graceful, but damn it. In my mid-70s, give me that type of movement, and I'll be very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll talk Chiefs. We'll talk about I know Nate's got a lot of soccer to talk about.
Oh, boy.
About the U.S. winning the Gold Cup, and also the U.S. women are out of the Olympics and sporting law, so all kinds of soccer talk there. And, of course, I'm up here ready to cover the Kansas City Chiefs in training camp up in St. Joe. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. At 7 o'clock, we'll talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. He covers the Chiefs. We'll get his thoughts on camp so far and preview what he thinks we'll see this week. Then Graham Zusi will be on the show at 7:30. Gary Lezak will give us the forecast before 8 o'clock. Todd Lebo at 8:05, and he'll tell us how I harassed him yesterday. And then I'll head over to training camp, and Nate will take it home from there. We'll get into Nate's soccer weekend coming up next segment, but first, I'm up here for the Chiefs. Why not hear from Andy Reid? As I said, there wasn't practice yesterday, but Andy Reid spoke to the media on Saturday, and that's new to you. It's new to all of us. I haven't heard everything that he said, and I'd like to hear Andy Reid talking after practice because it makes me think that football is close. And guess what, fellas? It is. It's getting closer. Can you smell it? You can almost touch it. Here's Andy Reid from Saturday giving us a Chiefs injury report.
All right, as far as the injuries go, Rimmers didn't practice. He's got back spasms. We're just letting those calm down. Hitch tweaked the hamstring, which we know, getting better every day. Kaiser's got back spasms. Darwin Thompson is in COVID protocol. Armani Watts had the fractured foot. He's coming back from. Kels actually got some work in today and is getting better from the back spasms. DeAndre Baker work and Taco had work. Neiman, he tweaked his hamstring a little bit. Other than that.
Taco had work. I like to work on some tacos, you know.
The COVID protocol thing for Darwin Thompson's a bad break because we talked about him. I think he's going to have a tough time making the team. And if you go into COVID protocol, typically, you know, depending on whether, I don't know if what his situation is, if he has or not, but, you know, you can't do any exercise. And that's...
He can do whatever he wants. He better not touch Mahomes.
Better stay away, far away.
Better stay the hell away. No handoffs.
Yeah, right. No, not even.
Do you want him to touch Mahomes?
No, I don't want him anywhere near Mahomes.
Either one of you guys want him to touch Mahomes?
Nope.
I prefer him not touch anybody.
Well, that's. I think that he's got to touch someone. I mean,
well, not while he's in the protocol. While he's in the protocol.
Well, no one from the team. He can touch. You know.
Yeah.
Touch fam or whatever, but I'm, you know, just.
If I'm his fam, I'm not touching him.
Well, maybe that's where he got it. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't have it. Maybe it's, who? I don't know. I'm not speculating. All I know is stay away from my quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just saying that for him, that's a tough break because you know that sets you behind right at the start of camp, and he doesn't need to be behind. That's that because he's going to have a tough job making the team. So feel for him there.
He's behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's behind Darrell Williams. He's behind Jerick McKinnon. So
yeah.
And I don't know that there's anything besides injury that he could do in camp to move ahead of any of those guys anyway. So you're right. Let's hear Andy Reid's opening statement from Saturday.
We're doing good. It was great work today, as it has been for the last four. We've had a variety of elements that we've been able to work with. Today was great because we got to work with a wet ball and you got to have a little bit more focus, especially going into day four when you're a little bit tired. And the guys, I thought, did a good job with that, with the rain and so on. So,
you think it's easy to work with a wet ball?
Depends on what you're trying to do with it.
Work with it.
No, I don't think it's easy to work with a wet ball.
No. What do you even think about it for?
I don't know.
You want a dry ball to work with. If it's a wet ball, very slippery. Jake, you're a goalkeeper. Do you want to work with a wet ball? Is that what you want to do?
A damp ball never bothered me, but a wet one?
What about a moist ball?
Moist ball?
He didn't say damp.
No, I'm just saying. You asked me. I said no wet. Yes, a little damp, a little tack on the goalkeeper gloves.
Good balls.
That's why there's Gold Bond.
Nate had a good question. What about moist?
Yeah. I was never shy from a little moisture.
Moist.
Good balls.
And see, people don't like that word. I love to say it. Moist.
It's a moist one.
Why not come on over here and enjoy this moist piece of cake?
It's a moist one.
Duncan Hines.
It could be moist. Yeah, Duncan Hines makes you think of some moist cake, huh?
Right.
That's exactly a smile on my face. Here's Andy Reid. He was asked about how camp's going and the prospect of putting the pads on this week.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, they're working through this and they're working through this and doing a nice job as they go with it. Inevitably they look forward to getting the pads on down the road. You don't hear much of that because they're glad to be out here and doing what they're doing. There's a bug crawling up my pants here.
Whoa.
Hey.
Whoa. That's not a good thing.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hey. Hey, is that a bug crawling up my pants? Or are you happy to see me? What's
There's
going on here?
A bug crawling up my pants here. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, depends.
What kind of bug is it?
Yeah, what kind of bug are we talking about here?
Hope it's not a skeeter.
I mean, that would be alarming if there's a bug crawling up your pants. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't like that.
Nah, again, to each their own, but
He's got Coach, look, Eddie, Coach, oh, Eddie Reed's got some ants in his pants, huh? Yeah.
Coach says it's not a good thing. We're going to take him at his word.
there's a drop to, now. That Oh, thanks, Big yeah. Red. Early in camp, we got
a bug crawling up my pants here. There's a bug crawling up my pants here.
Hey, one more, because we'll play that plenty. Trust me.
Crawling up my pants here.
Dance like you got the.
I like at the end. He goes.
In your pants.
I like at the end. He goes, and that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
Well,
in case you were wondering, like, huh?
There's a bug. Is that a good thing? Pants here. That's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. I want to play the final read clip, read 11, because Nate, were you paying attention to when he read off the injured players?
Yes.
He said Mike Remmers with back spasms.
Mm-hmm.
So who was running with the ones then?
Niang? Was it Niang?
Yeah. And so what's that mean?
He's catching tennis balls out there.
That means Creed Humphrey, rookie. Right?
Yep.
Who plays next to him?
Trey Smith.
What's he?
He's a rookie.
Lucas Niang, he opted out, so he theoretically is a what?
A rookie.
What about three rookies on your offensive line together, Jake?
I don't think that's ever ideal on the same side, but hey, I trust Big Red.
Let's hear what Big Red has to say about Lucas Niang's camp so far.
Yeah, he's in great shape right now. He worked his tail off this offseason, came back early. He and Tooney were in there every day working, and so it's showing out here. He's doing a nice job so far.
Wait a second. I thought I was told. Okay, are you going to go ahead?
No, go ahead. What?
Well, I was told by some Chiefs insiders that he was grossly overweight.
Stop. Stop.
Were we not told that?
Stop it. So let me go ahead and say this again. Joe Tooney. And apparently people will not believe me, even though we played a clip of Joe Tooney saying his name. Now that I don't understand. Now that Andy Reid has said it, can everyone call him Joe Tooney, please?
Thuny.
It's not Thuny. It's not Tunny or Thunny or none of those things. Jake, what's the man's name?
It's Joe Tunney.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It absolutely is not. You know how I know? Because
Tunney.
He said it, and now Andy Reid said it. Because apparently when I say it, it holds no weight.
Tunney.
Just everyone call
say
him.
Say it real fast. Tunney.
Joe Tooney.
Joe Tunney.
I want him to be respected, that's all, by people saying his name correctly. Big Red says Joe Tooney. Big Red says there's a bug crawling up his leg, up his pants. There's all kinds of things. See? That's why you need me up here. All hell's breaking loose up at training camp.
There's a bug crawling up my pants here.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
I wonder if that's code for something. Like, I got a lot, you know. Brad G, get in here. In this press conference. If I don't like these questions, I'm going to say there's a bug crawling up my pants.
Well, I just don't know who to believe right now. Yeah, I don't know who to believe on how to pronounce Thuny's name.
I would believe Joe Tooney, and then I would believe his coach.
And then I don't know who to believe on whether or not Lucas Niang is in shape. Yeah, I got some reports telling me he's grossly overweight, out of shape, and then I got Big Red telling me he's in great shape.
Incorrect.
Who am I supposed to believe?
I'm out of this deal.
Who am I supposed to? You tell me who to believe.
I'm going to take a break now. Believe that. Back into this on WHB.
My fans here. Not a good thing.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John live at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center, my headquarters, all week long as I cover Chiefs training camp for Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, of course, I would love to thank the sponsors that make our coverage possible. First of all, our title sponsor, Mike DePasquale, and the law offices of DePasquale Moore. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car wreck, remember, Mike's got this. Also, Bud Light, the official beer of your Kansas City Chiefs, and CBD American Shaman, over 40 local locations. They've got one up here in St. Joe as well. Go in for a free sample today. CBD American Shaman, life is better with a feather. All right, we hit baseball, and we've talked football. Let's get Nate's thoughts on what's happened in soccer this weekend. And for people that, well, I know some people may not have stayed up to watch the Gold Cup final last night, and some people have no idea what happened in the Olympics between the U.S. women's national team and Canada. And then we know what happened with Sporting against Dallas, but update people on what happened with the national teams, Nate Buchady.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, I guess, if you've recorded the U.S. Canada game and you don't want to know what happened, there's your spoiler alert.
We recorded it on a VHS.
Yeah, yeah. But the U.S. women lost to Canada overnight. Basically, they played at 3 o'clock this morning local time, and they lost in the semifinals. The Canada won nothing. Canada got a penalty and converted it. I did not watch that game. I will confess that to you. I woke up probably around the time that game was wrapping up. So I haven't watched that whole one. I can't comment on that one too much. Although all the comments I'm reading basically say that the U.S. women's national team got old. And they took basically the same team that won the World Cup a couple summers ago. And they obviously have a lot of great legendary players, but they're not in the prime of their career anymore. And I saw Paul Carr tweeted out, I think it's like, I don't know how many World Cups in a row, where the team that won Olympics in a row, where a team that won the last World Cup then failed to win the Olympics. It's to do it back-to-back seems to be pretty tough. On the men's side, they beat Mexico in the Gold Cup final last night. And it was incredible. I mean, it was an incredible game. It was 0-0 after regulation, and that was one of the most thrilling 0-0 games I've ever seen. I mean, there were goal chances all over the place, and guys either would miss their shots on both sides, or the players on both teams were playing incredibly hard.
It is a gritty game.
Throwing themselves in front of the ball, blocking shots and all that. And the U.S. got a goal in extra time, and they won the game. So it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for the team that we saw when it was the Nations Cup. Well, I can't.
Nations League.
Right, the Nations League, whatever it was. Mixing that team with this team, with the talent that team had on it, because that was their A squad, but mixing some of the grittiness that this Gold Cup squad played with, mixing that is going to be Berhalter's challenge. I think that's what needs to happen, because there are some players that have that USA grit in them that they're going
to... Okay, so explain this to me, because everyone keeps giving different answers. So what would that be considered for the United States as far as, you know, A team, B team, C team, and what would that be considered for Mexico? Because Mexico is also in the semifinals of the Olympics, right?
Yeah, and the Olympics on the men's side is an under-23 sport. So it
probably B squad for both, but Mexico had a couple more regulars than the USA.
It was mostly Mexico's A squad. They wanted to win this thing. They suffered a huge injury at the beginning of this tournament, but almost all of their first team players
were
there.
The majority of the players on that nation squad, I mean, half of them were there, right? Not that.
Well, yeah, Tata Martino used his A squad for both. Because they lost to the United States in the Nations League, then they wanted to go win this tournament, and so he used. If you look at the players, it's mostly the Mexico's first choice players. They were playing in this. I mean, you had Chucky Lozano out there and all those guys, and you know, Funes Mori and Pizarro and all these players that are top players for Mexico, they really wanted to win it because they lost the Nations League game earlier in the summer. Berhalter decided to use the Nations League to play his first team and then let those guys all go back to Europe and get ready for their club teams, because they're going to be playing in World Cup qualifiers coming up in September. So he used a lot of Major League Soccer-based players for this Gold Cup. And they're guys that are young. They're guys that are trying to make their way into the first team, and I think he wanted to see which guys were up for it. and which guys can help them in World Cup qualifying again that starts in September. And I think what we found out is they got a good group of players that are playing in Major League Soccer. It's not all of them play Major League Soccer, most of them do. And Busio being one of them, who might not be playing in Major League Soccer much longer. But those guys went out there and they played really well and played really hard. I mean, this was a terrific summer for American men's soccer because it's been a really, really bad 4 years for them since failing to qualify for the last World Cup. And they have these young players that we've been talking about that we think we're going to be able to do some really good things. And you need to have depth. You know, you can't just have 4 or 5 guys if you want to be able to qualify for the World Cup and do well in the World Cup. You have to have a lot more than that. And it looks like they're starting to do that. They played a great game yesterday. It was a really – that game could have gone either way. It really could have. I mean, Mexico had their chances. They didn't finish theirs. The USA had their chances. They finally finished one of them. But it was a great game and really entertaining to watch and a huge win for the U.S. And Busio came in late in the game and played terrifically. He played really, really well and was a part of why they won.
We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake wanted to highlight this segment. He likes it when I'm wrong. And so he said, let's dedicate a full segment to you being wrong. I said, okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm with it. I'm in it. I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong. And when the Royals were drafting number 7 overall, I tweeted out that my wish list was Kumar Rocker, Khalil Watson, and Brady House. Now, if everything was equal, whatever, I still wish they would have drafted Khalil Watson and Brady House. But I understand what their approach was. I understand what their strategy was. And we'll have to see how it plays out. But that, drafting the way they did allowed them to spread their signing bonus money across, you know, several rounds and several players. And so I get it. I understand. But if Khalil Watson turns out to be a superstar or Brady House does, it's not going to make me feel better. But I see what they did. I understand it better now. But anyone that wanted the Royals to draft Kumar Rocker, wrong. We were wrong. The Mets did not sign Kumar Rocker, the 10th overall pick in the draft, before yesterday's deadline, 4 o'clock Central. And the 21-year-old will now go back to Vanderbilt. He had an agreement in place to sign for $6 million after he slipped down draft boards earlier this month. But the deal fell apart following his physical examination as the Mets expressed concern over the health of Rocker's arm, sources said. And I talked to someone yesterday that knows what they're talking about, and they said, no, the Royals were not interested because of his arm. And other teams felt that way as well.
Yep.
So the Royals were right not to draft him. But, as I pointed out, it wasn't just Kumar Rocker. They passed on Khalil Watson. They passed on Brady House. But we'll see. I mean, if nothing else, if you were mad that they didn't draft Kumar Rocker, well, be glad they didn't. Now the Mets will get the 11th pick in the draft next year. Mets fans are pretty happy. I'd like you to go look at their owner and what he tweeted out and read the responses. That's about 45 minutes of sheer pleasure. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Again, Stephen St. John live at Stony Creek Hotel in the Conference Center. My headquarters as I cover Chiefs training camp all week long. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. He covers the Chiefs all season long, and he talks about it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.